Blog Talk Radio.
Can you please push one? Shalom, shalom.
if you're on here. Thank you. All right, you guys. Well, yesterday was a very interesting class yesterday. Everybody talked about how good the class was and, you know, how everybody was glad, you know, that we had the class and everything. It was very interesting. It was very informative. It was very interesting. I don't know if you guys seen or not, but there is a thing going on YouTube where these people had their son's funeral in the club. And it wasn't so much that the funeral was in the club as much as the dead body was in the club, too, standing up against the wall and everything. I don't know if you guys seen that, but why don't you Google that? I mean, it's on YouTube and everything. His name was G-O-O-N-E-W, Body at the Club. And it was a lot of mixed, it was a lot of mixed emotions about it. A lot of people were upset about it. You know, a lot of people had a lot of things to say about it. And a lot of people didn't believe that it was that the mom knew about it. But when you look at the different clips, the mom was in. She was agreed with it. She said that's what her son wanted for his funeral, and that's how he wanted to go out. But a lot of people were very upset about the fact that it was like that. Now, they did sell tickets. It was like $40 a person to get in the club, and it was packed out. It was a lot of people there. And they said it was a beautiful ceremony, and, you know, people were singing songs and everything. They had him fully dressed, and he was standing up against the wall with a crown on his head and all the whole nine yards. But I just, you know, wondered what you guys thought about that. Is that something that you would have done? So, give you a minute to look it over and, you know, tell me what you think about it. And, you know, because a lot of people said it was creepy. A lot of people felt like it was creepy. And is it something that you think you might do? I mean, you know, because they didn't break any laws or anything. It wasn't any laws broken of any kind. She just felt like that's what he wanted. They said he didn't go to church. He wasn't a church goer. You know, and he was a rapper, and that, you know, that's how he lived his life, and that's how he wanted his ceremony to go. You know, and I watched it, and, you know, it was different. You know, I wonder if they will pass any laws now preventing people from doing that, you know, because, like I said, they didn't break any laws or anything, but it was just the principle of the thing, and a lot of his friends were shocked, you know, that they actually did that. And I'm like, wow, you know. So I don't know, you know, how that transpired, but it was really something to see it, you know. And everybody said it was creepy, you know. And it's not something that I would do. But it was look at it on YouTube. I mean, while we're on the thing, you can look at it on YouTube and, you know, tell me what you think, you know, and different things like that. But, you know, it's just kind of strange to me, you know. Let me see if I can pull it up for their family to say something. And then you can hear what they had to say about it. Because he was shot and killed. Now, here we go.
And in a Fox 5 exclusive, our David Kaplan spoke with the family.
Well, good evening to you. The family tells me this is the exact celebration that they wanted to celebrate Markel Moreau's life. They planned it. They were celebrating on next to his body. And quite frankly, they say they don't understand the controversy surrounding all of this. Spoke with his mother tonight, who says she should be able to grieve exactly how she wants.
It's something that I wanted to do. That's how Markel wanted me to do it. That's how he wanted to go out. He wanted to celebrate his life, turning up, having a party. He only wants people to be sad and crying. He always wants people to be happy and having fun.
Moreau, who went by the stage name Gunu, was shot and killed in Prince George's County on March 18th. His death remains an open homicide investigation. There was an autopsy performed on his body. It was released to the funeral home, and the family tells me they wanted to have a celebration. celebration that they said properly reflected his life. This was at Bliss Nightclub at Northeast D.C. Fox 5 is not sharing images posted to social media, but I can tell you the body was upright on the stage. He was wearing jeans, a sweatshirt, and a crown as people celebrated around him. Moreau's sister says the family has received a lot of negative attention, but emphasized tonight, they don't care.
We want that message to be out. We celebrated the life of my brother how we wanted. My brother was a legend. My brother was a king. And that's exactly how we wanted to go out. To clear the rumors in that place, my brother, the critics are, it's rude. It's very disrespectful. It's very insensitive. If you do not like it, don't speak on it.
So in an Instagram post today, Bliss acknowledged that they worked with a funeral home about this, but they apologized to family, fans, and friends, saying they were never made aware of what would transpire, is the quote. We sincerely apologize to all those who may be upset or offended. We reached out to Bliss for more information on Instagram, but did not hear back from them. Moreau's murder remains unsolved in Prince George's County. Police offering a $25,000 reward for anybody with any information about this murder. Back to you.
All right, you guys, there you have it. Raw and uncut. So what do you think about that? I mean, you know, they said they did it the way they wanted to do it. It's nobody's business what they chose to do for their loved one. This is what he wanted, and they made it possible for them to do that. I mean, you know, any comments? Anybody have anything to say about it? And, you know, they were like, it's nobody's business what we did. However, it was a lot of negative pushback from that. A lot of people were upset because they had that body out in the open like that. And then it came to me, you know, with the laws and stuff, which they knew nothing about, you know, how unclean it was. You know, that's an unclean thing to be, but, I mean, I guess if nobody's touching it and nobody's doing anything to it, you know, it was okay. Anybody have a comment on that one way or the other? You know, it's different. Like I said, it takes time to process it, and they actually show you with his body propped up, you know, up against the wall with a crown on, and they was partying around him. You know, and a lot of people had a lot of negative stuff to say behind that. Hold on, let me open the mic. Brother Yerushalayim, your mic is open. You are on the air.
Well, I didn't hear all of it. I just tuned in, so I got about me away. But from what I gather, you know, that's pretty, you know, let's just call it, you know, we just at that stage where we do what we want to do. And, you know, that's part of that unlawlessness. But like you said, they don't know. But people do everything that they want to do now. They don't, nobody cares. There's just no limits to anything.
Do you think it was wrong for them to do that?
I'm not going to say whether it was right or wrong. That's something that they want to do, but I just say that there's a limit. There's no limit now to what we would do stuff. Because if you went back about 25 years ago and somebody did that, that would have been so sacrilegious, it would have even been funny. You know, they have been ostracized from every community in America. You know, but now it just goes into the culture that has been created in this country where you just do what you want to do. I'm not going to say whether it's right or wrong. I'm not going to condemn it. I can just say that it's not going to do that for me because I'm not going to even have all that. But that's their choice, and people are making some choices to do stuff that just really over the top now.
Yeah, and my thing was, you know, I'm sure that because they didn't break a law, and, you know, they did what they wanted to do, it will probably be some laws passed that this
mm-hmm.
won't happen. You know,
that
because nobody ever expects you to do something like that, you know?
That's true.
Because they didn't break a law. There was no laws being broken, you know. But, you know, other than them being in the place where, excuse me, a body was, and that, and everybody was like, well, what happened to it afterwards? They put him in the ground, I'm assuming.
Also.
You know, there was no casket, you know, there. It was no casket there. He was standing up with gym shoes on, his clothing on, a crown on, and he was leaned up against the wall. It's just, it's strange. You know what I'm saying? It's just strange.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange.
But you heard what they said. This is what we wanted. This is how we wanted to let him go. This is what we wanted to do for him, because this is what he wanted us to do for him. And, you know, it's really nobody's business what we decide to do. You know, and that's why it's so important, you know, that we teach our people the laws. You know, because they don't understand the laws. You know, this is something, you know, and then they said, well, he didn't go to church. Well, he doesn't have to go to church. But the Most High is very specific about that body and what you do with that body, you know. And, you know, a lot of people do at funerals that they really shouldn't do. A lot, even funerals in the funeral homes and stuff, you know. A lot of people don't realize you're not supposed to have an open bottle and drinking different things, you know, in the midst of a dead body, because they consider it to be unclean. A lot of people don't know that.
No.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So I just think, like you said, it's strange. It's, you know, to me, it's just part of the culture that's been created in this society where you can do whatever it is you want to do without restraints, without any regard for anything else. And, you know, that just goes into, you know, it's getting into a lawless society, you know. And when I say lawless, I'm not talking about regarding the laws of this nation, but the laws of the Most High. It turned into a very lawless society, and people want to do what they want to do, you know. And that's the attitude that we have to combat, because let's say something happens 2 weeks from now, and all of us are heading to the city of Unwalled Villages, and we all get over there. You mean, Kevin, we all get over there. We're going to have people trying to do the same acts, the same kind of stuff over there, because they are so bent on nobody can tell me what to do. There is no higher power. I do what I want to do. And see, this is what's killing us now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That is so very true. You know, but again, you know, we've been in this society so long, and, you know, like you said, when you have in a society where everybody does whatever they feel like doing, you know, that's why the laws are so important to have, you know, just so that people understand that, you know, even though we have these children belong to the Most High, they is, you know, and you have to really, really be careful with the things that we do, and it's only because we weren't taught, you know. And it's not anything against, you know, the mother or the sister and them, because they are grieving. But man, it just was a little, it was different, you know. It really was.
Yeah,
you know, wow. But you know, this is what we do and how we live, and you know, there has to be a stop somewhere where somebody say, okay, we go no further than this point. Or else what's
next? Well, what's next?
I believe they'll probably pass some laws after that to make sure, you know, that people know, you know, that they have to be in a casket. At least.
Yeah, because one of my neighbors did something like that, that would have creeped me the hell out.
A lot of people, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people commented on that, like, what in the world is this? Yeah, you know, because he was just, you guys pull it up.
Oh, you know? I will.
And look at it. His name is, It's his name is G-O-O-N-E-W. And you know, body in the club. They had him standing up in the club. And I was like, wow.
Alrighty then.
He was standing straight up in the club.
Yeah. In the club. You
yeah,
better get out
was,
of that doggone club.
He was standing up in the club, and I'm like, wow. You know, it's just too much. I don't understand it. You know, I just don't understand the issue. I don't understand what it was, but, you know, this is where we were, you know, and this is what they did, and it's like, wow, you know, it's just crucial. Mm-hmm. But that's where we are today. It's something different.
Yeah, sis, I'm going to go ahead and let you know I'm outside planting peas. And,
peas, okay.
And listening to the class at the same time, so I'm going to be going in and out. But
okay.
I'm out here. I got the phone right here, out here with me. So you might hear some birds and stuff in the background.
That's all right. I appreciate the feedback. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, anybody else have a comment? Anybody else have anything you'd like to say on it? Or about the class yesterday? I mean, because we learned a lot yesterday about nationality. We learned a lot. And one thing that I did realize, you know, is that a lot of people were, you know, some people were saying, you know, well, my children's, you know, father has a different nationality, and what about them? You know, and I don't mean to ever offend anyone. That is never my intentions. You know, I just was bringing certain information out so that you could be able to realize, you know, what's really going on. And then when it pertains to Israel, you know, we always think that because of skin color, we can actually determine who's Israel and who's not. And you really can't. I mean, you really, really can't do it. So, you know, I just wanted to know if anybody has a comment about yesterday's class, please feel free to push 1. Hold on, let me get this mic open. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I mean, it's nothing new under the sun. A mixed multitude followed the Israelites out of Egypt. And we know what happened in the wilderness. That's all that was happening in the wilderness. He was purging out the people that wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
All those different the incidents at the Mount Sinai was that it was a group of people there that hadn't given up all the things that was going on that they had learned in Egypt. That's why they made the golden calf. So we're getting ready to do the same thing again. They're going to have to be purged out. All right.
Now, what do you mean? What do you mean when you say they have to be purged out? I'm not understanding.
Because, like right now, you got people that leaving here, you know, they jumped on the bandwagon. You know, Mosiah promised us in Isaiah 44, 1 through 5, that he's going to pour his spirit out on my seed, DNA. And so, but because of who we are, people jumping on the bandwagon saying that they've been awakened and all that. They just jumping on the bandwagon, you know, so they're not there because of the spirit of the Most High on them. And so when we leave, it's a bunch of people going to leave like that. And when he said he's going to pass us under the rod, then they ain't going to be able to pass under the rod because they ain't right. You got to purge them out.
But I don't think that certain people are even coming. I think that there's going to be a mixed multitude. But I think the Most High knows who's his and who's not. But the issue is, what happens when there is a Israelite mom? And when she traces her children's lineage back, even though the father was considered to be black, when you go all the way back to the father's father, he's Caucasian. So what happens in that situation?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right now, engaging in dialogue, that plays a part in engaging in dialogue. You just ain't meant for them to get the understanding. He says he giving the understanding to the Israelites. He waking them up. That's where all the chaos coming from people not writing the Bible scriptures because the spirit of Moses ain't on them. So that has to be understood. That's a major problem right now. You keep on saying seed. I'm dealing with seed. I see. At the end, I'm going to bring your seed back. That means that's DNA. So if you ain't no Israelite, then you're fumbling with the scriptures because you ain't no Israelite.
Okay, but what about the third and fourth generation?
They ain't working. Okay, I think that applies after we've been regathered. Because look at the time period that's been passed. When you understand the time that's been passed, the actual time that's been passed that we separated out our land. You know, it was long before 70 AD. All those kingdoms over on the west coast of Africa, they left Israel, but it wasn't in 70 AD. So, fourth generation, I mean, that don't even apply no more. It's once we regather, I think that applies. But he says also we gonna be left few in number. So what do that mean? That's DNA.
Mm-hmm.
You're not talking about. It all goes back to DNA. Even when they came into the land of Canaan, he told them that the DNA, don't mix your DNA with their DNA.
Right.
The whole story is about DNA. And people, they're not getting it.
Right.
Yeah. So look at the all the people getting women getting pregnant and raped on the slave ship. I mean, you had 1600 years of the transatlantic slave trade. Raping women.
Yeah, but it was so much of that going on that he did tell us that he was going to cleanse our blood as a result of that, too.
Right. That's the ones that he brings us back, the ones that he's going to deal with. He's going to cleanse their blood. From my understanding, it's tied to when we pass on the rod. Moses was a rod.
Right.
David was a rod. Yeah.
That's kind of a lot, for somebody to tell somebody that their children are going and they're Israel. You know, that's a lot.
Yeah, well, that's what Ezra done.
Yeah, but Ezra, I mean, you know. But the difference between that and now is that they knew better. Like I said, what if you realized after all this time and you learning that the wife that you married, and she was a black girl, you know, that her father was Caucasian. Her father's father was Caucasian. I mean, you wouldn't have knew that. I mean, if you go all the way back and trace it all the way back, there's no way you would have knew that. I don't think that the Most High will hold that against you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because most of us have gone through something in the slave trade.
That's another thing about this. I looked at it comes down to the curses is about him. A lot of people look at it as it's about the Israelites, but it's about him. So when the curses actually, when we kicked out our name, you got to know that it was Israelites there that was righteous.
Mm-hmm.
It was righteous Israelites, but they had to go. All the stuff that happened to the wicked ones happened to the righteous too. So it's not about it's about him. So same thing applies now. It's not about us because he cast off people that hadn't done nothing. They had to go. Even now with the sacrifices, and all that stuff that's his way of separating us from him. When he says draw nigh unto me, he's talking about bringing a sacrifice to him in the temple. So if you don't want to deal with you no more, he took away the sheep and the oxen and the goats and all that, so you can't draw nigh to him.
Ah.
We see in Isaiah. Yeah, so We see in Isaiah chapter 60 that he give all that back. He says that rams and the goats and oxen gonna come up on my altar as a sacrifice. That's how we draw back nigh to him. Isaiah 60, verse 5 and 6.
I have to read it. I mean, you know, I just don't believe that. I mean, you know, but I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know, but I don't believe he's gonna be that cut and dry. Like, okay, it's over. You know.
Okay, let's look at another situation. I was reading this other day. In King James, they got the story of Amalek, when the Amalek took Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he keeps saying, God, you know, I'm not trying to be crafty or anything, but he keeps saying, God, 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 God. But then when you go to Jasper, it tells you that he told Amalek, he came to Amalek, the angel of the Lord came to Amalek, stood over him with the sword and told him, you got Abraham's wife. And,
mm-hmm.
and in the morning, you better take him back. But that night, after he had visited Amalek and told him what the deal was, because he didn't know, he killed all the people in Canaan. He killed all the Amalek folks. And then when Amalek woke up, they told him what happened. He said, you know, so when you write the Bible, this is the same being that killed all the people in Egypt. So anyway, so here is no, it was no mercy. That's what people don't understand about him. He had somebody to answer to. So he cannot allow sin to get to him. That's why when it gets to a point where sin gonna get on him, then he killing and tearing up everything. Because he got to answer to the Creator.
I just don't believe he that cut and dry. I mean, I believe that he's merciful. You know, these children are keeping the law, statutes, and the commandments, and that's no different than the Gentile being saved, because if he spares the Gentile, then it's no different than the Gentile being saved and for whatever purpose that they need to, whether they're going to, whatever the purpose for them, servitude or whatever it is, you know, for them to just say, well, they can't come. I don't know. I don't think that's going to be. I don't know. Now, I don't know. Okay, so say about a person that's married to a Caucasian woman, and he's an Israelite man. So when the Most High goes to collect his people, is he going to leave that wife?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, look what Absalom did. Absalom's mother wasn't no Israelite woman. And look what he did. It's a reason why he did that. It's DNA. And the Most High already, he was part of the promise, part of the judgment he had told David. He said, I'm going to bring wickedness up out of your lineage. And I'm going to, just like you slept with Uriah's wife, then I'm going to bring somebody going to sleep with your wife. And that was Absalom. He wicked as hell. The Most High ain't going to bring him nowhere.
Yeah.
DNA. Is
it so? Yeah, but it's been compromised, though. I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I know what you're saying, but it has been compromised.
Right.
You know? The DNA has been compromised because who can say that they 100% pure?
That's what I'm saying. The plumb line is that he said in Isaiah 44, 1 through 5, you know, it's wrong. It's wrong, but that's how he operates. He says that I'm going to pour my spirit out on you. So it's the same thing with a filter. When you're looking for gold, you put a whole bunch of dirt and rocks in there and you shift it. And then you find gold. So how you going to find out after all that he's done, you just scattered and intermingled, when you pour spirit out, is when he's going to find out who the seed line is. The seed goes, because he's going to fall on some people and roll out like water on a duck back. But the one, the seed gonna respond to spirit.
Well,
that's what we living through right now.
Wow.
Yeah, you see Obama, he did 8 years in the White House. He ain't mentioned Yahweh side or Yahweh or nobody man time. Well, that tell you right there what's up with him. And he can take them. Run with it with everybody else. You can tell who's the seed line, because they're going to respond to the spirit and respond to what's going on. Especially now in 2022.
I don't know. I don't know. I think he's going to be a little bit more understanding than that. I mean, you know, I just feel like he will be. I think he's going to be a little bit more understanding than that. I could be wrong, but I just believe that he will be. Because like I said, you know, and we're not talking about somebody that's married to a person from another nation. I'm talking about a person that's married to a black man and then went to research lineage back and found out that the ancestor was of another nationality, you know, which guess might not be true either, you know, because I don't trust none.
Yeah, let's look at this right here. I mean, this is not even as severe as what we talk about right now. So, David got good standing with the Creator, right?
Right.
Okay. His friend, Uzi, or Ozzy, whatever his name was, all he did was touch the ark. Imagine that. So David thought the same thing, that, oh, surely he's going to give him some mercy. But people not understanding what's actually happening, that the angel was right there, I was telling you about. So he stabbed, he killed, and like they killed him in front of David. And how we know that, because David fell back. And he said, David is healed with him for a long time, because David had got a rude awakening. He thought it was one way, but it wasn't that way. He said, you know, he told him, don't touch his ark. And when he touched it, he killed him right in front of David. David did that when David realized what he was dealing with. What he thought it was. And that's why he said, I'm not gonna go to the left or to the right. I'm going right down the middle, whatever he told me to do, that's what I'm gonna do.
Well, I don't doubt he doesn't have protocol. And I don't doubt that he means what he says. I don't have an issue. I mean, I know that. You know what I'm saying? And I've heard a lot of people, you know, preach sermons and different things that they pretend to know him, and I understand he says what he means, and he means what he says, you know, but, you know, some things, though, you know, when it comes to us being in this captivity, some things weren't able to be held, but like I said, with those DNA tests and all that stuff, I don't believe half of that stuff anyway, because in my opinion, you know, that's a situation where, once again, you're going to them to ask them to research who you are, and I just don't trust none of that. Really don't.
Right. They've been lying all the time. Say again.
They've
been lying all the time. They ain't all of a sudden tell the truth.
Absolutely. I totally agree. You know, why now do we all of a sudden you care about who our ancestors are? And why now all of a sudden do we have to go through you to find out who our ancestors were? Because those histories were hid on purpose. So now I'm going to take a DNA swab and send it in to you for you to tell me who I am? No. I just don't believe in that. I really don't. You know. In my opinion. That's just my opinion. I don't need you to tell me that. I don't need for you to say nothing about nothing, because the Most High knows his children. He knows who's his and who's not. We don't have to live to the point where we have to trust in anything that they tell us, because he knows who his people are. You know, and when you start trying to decide who's who, then that's a problem.
Right.
In my opinion.
That's over the pay grade. That's over our pay grade.
Yeah. Hold on a minute. Area code 919, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Just a short comment, and I think that last thing that that was said is above our pay grade. I think it's definitely above my pay grade. However, I think just looking at the scriptures, you know, it may have to do with the level of closeness to Yah, like who will be closest to him in his kingdom, because even in Ezekiel it says that he's going to bring everybody out, bring us into the wilderness, there'll be a purging, but there'll be some even among Israelites who will not be allowed into the holy city. So it seems like there may be you know, something to do with that as well, is who can get closer to Yah and who can't.
That's possible.
But whatever he does, it'll be righteous. It'll be righteous.
I believe that, too. I really do believe that, you know, because, like, and then I believe what he says, too. You know that everybody, when he comes, is not going to pass the test, you know, but he's still going to bring us where he's going to bring us. He's still going to deliver us from the captivity, because he said not one would be left in the land of their captivity. It's just that once we get to where we're going is where all of, because he's got to clear it up first. He's got to give us the proper instructions. He has to make sense the feast days. He has to make sense, you know, how we are to dress. He has to make sense of those things, because right now everybody's grasping at straws, in my opinion. You know, so to be able to do that, he has to get us all in one location. It's impossible to do everything right here in the land of our captivities, because we have awakened out of a stupor, out of a sleep, not knowing who we were. And everybody's doing the best they can to acknowledge Yah, and he knows that. There's no way to get it right, because everybody does something different. You know?
He's really putting us here.
Go ahead.
I said, and he knew. I mean, he wrote the story, the end, from the beginning. He knew he was going to tear this nation down. He was going to break us down. He knew what we would be.
Absolutely. And that he knew that when we awakened, we were going to be looking for the answers and the solutions. And he knew only he can give those to us. Because if man has to be the one to try to figure it out, it's going to be the same mess that it was before. It's going to be them making a decision that's not adequate.
Yeah, another thing to look at on that is how that, you know, this us waking up, is that's all fine and dandy, but this ain't our first rodeo. So we on the end of a good whooping. So we going back, you know, tiptoeing back, because his indignation is still there. We been checked again. You know, it ain't like when our forefathers first went into the land of Canaan and they had a fresh start. We over here because of us as a people, what we done previously. So when we go back, he definitely ain't taking no wood nickel, because we already know what we're doing. How wicked we are, so... You have to be on your best behavior to go back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the issue, though, is that we, even though we were in this captivity, we didn't even know we was being punished until he woke us up. So there has to be some mercy for that, because we didn't even know we was being punished. Nobody understood what all this persecution was about until he woke us up.
Right.
We didn't know.
What?
You know?
We were in a coma.
We were. Trying to figure it out and trying to understand, trying to work against the prick to try to create something that was never going to be, because he made sure of that. You know, so in understanding that, you know, we have to be able to say, well, you know, he knows what we've been trying to do. You know, he knows the effort that everybody has been putting into this to at least try to make an effort to do it right. You know, and if it's nothing but the Sabbath day, everybody agrees on that. But for the most part, that's the one thing that we have among us where everybody agrees that the Sabbath is on Saturday. And everybody in the Hebrew Israelite community worships the Sabbath on Saturday. Everybody does that. Now, the dates of the High Holy Day and all those things are issues, because everybody's counting different, everybody's doing things different. But that Sabbath day, we know that everybody pretty much believes that.
Right.
So, but once we get there, he has to be able to set the record straight. He has to be able to do that. You know, so that we know what we're supposed to be doing and how to do what we're supposed to do. Because right now, don't nobody really know. Everybody's doing the best they can with what they have to work with, and it's not, you know, and I don't see the sense of anybody waking up and then deliberately being defiant, because, I mean, you go back to doing what you was doing, because it's not going to change the situation, none. The situation is going to remain.
Well, it's like baptism. You know, it's like baptism. You dip a demon in the water, you come up wet, you feel a demon.
Right, right, absolutely. So, you know, to be able to do that, you just got to, you're going to have to understand, you know, certain things, that this is just the way it is, and we're going to have to do the best we can until we get where we're going, because nobody's going to get it perfect. Nobody's going to get it right. Everybody has different teachings. Everybody does things different. You know, some people don't believe in the whole Bible, and it's just all kind of stuff. You know, some people don't believe in anything but the Torah. You got other people that only believe so far. There's just so many different beliefs. He has to be the one to straighten that out, because we can't. We can't do that. It's just a situation where we can't do that. We got to wait on y'all. But in the meantime, we do the best we can. At least we are making a sincere effort. And he sees that, you know, and he honors that, I believe, you know. But it's just not a whole lot, you know, as we wake up, you know, just like the Yehuda Project. The Yehuda Project is always revolving. We get new people all the time. Old people leave, new people come back. You know, and people learn, and we learn from each other, and we just keep doing the best we can. That's all you can do. And don't deliberately be defiant, but do the best that you can. So I just believe, you know, that once the gathering comes and he begins to gather us all together, that that will make a difference, and we will know, like the sister said on the class yesterday, that place of safety where he's going to put us out of the way is when all of the things will be clarified. Because yesterday in the class... Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's what I was saying about it. We got a template, because of all everything that's being said now and what you're saying, it happened in Egypt. I mean, it's like I was saying before, they knew Joseph had told them they was going to get delivered. So you had the righteous ones that was waiting on, you know, believing what Joseph had told them. You had sellouts that had incorporated their life and their way of life and their family within Egypt. So that the day of reckoning came. The deliverer came. He took Pharaoh out in the Red Sea, drowned him. And then, but look at all that happened in the wilderness. So the same thing can really happen again. They're going to bring them out, but they ain't right. Because they still caught over to America. And so if they're going to do the right thing when the truth do come, are you going to say you ain't this is that after the truth comes? Yeah. That's where the problem going to come at when after the truth comes. You're really going to be looking crazy, because they're going to tell you. I mean, Isaiah 66 tells us he's going to resurrect all our forefathers, and they're going to be standing there. Then he says that then you can suck. All the questions, a Q&A session, anything you want to know, they are all right there. Then can you suck? Then you'll be dangled off my knee. They are all right there. So when the truth comes, are they going to see how people still want to deal with what they picked up in America and what these Edomites gave them?
Well, I don't think they're going to be able to. All the resources for that is going to be gone. There ain't going to be no wig stores. It ain't going to be no eyelash stores. It ain't going to be no implants. And all that's going to be gone.
I'm talking about doctors. I ain't talking about that part. I'm talking about the, because, like you said, it's either the truth or it ain't the truth. And so when it comes to everything comes to a head, it's people that's going to not even deal with it even be. They ain't going to deal with the truth. That's what happened in Egypt. When they got to the truth came.
That's true. Yeah, you're going to have some that's going to rebel. I believe that. They're not going to want to be there. But the thing about it is, this is the issue, though. The issue is, if it's done the same way, and if we leave the same way we left when we went out of Egypt, they'll know we're leaving. And but the thing about it, when he says that none will be left in the land, something has to happen where they have a choice.
Right. Well, I think he's saying right here. Are you crazy?
He said not one would be left in those lands.
Right.
So
he
you
said,
right.
I will not leave one behind. He's not going to leave. It's his doing.
Yeah.
Right.
So if that's the case, yeah, they're probably going to buck and do the things that they're going to do, but they ain't going to have no choice.
Right, but he's gonna have to get rid of them. Like he did when they came out of Egypt. He had the earth open up and kill a whole bunch of people, a bunch of Israelites when they left Egypt. They came. He came and he did the 10 plagues and all the stuff that he did with Moses and all that, and they still made the golden calf at the bottom of the mountain. So we in the same predicament. Because people are gonna bring ideologies and all that out of here. That has nothing to do with us. And so then when it's presented to them, they're still going to hold on to it. Because they, you know, like I said, he's pulling his spirit out now. And they're not dealing with it. His spirit is there. They ain't recognizing it. They're still doing what they want to do. Yeah. So they're going to do the same thing in the wilderness.
It's going to be a little different. That's definitely going to be a little different. Let me see where the scripture is. He said, this is Ezekiel 39:28. He said, then shall they know that I am the Most High, their Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them to their own land and have left none of them anymore there. So...
Right.
He said, neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Most High Elohim. So, you know, he's not going to leave them there. It's too vague to really pinpoint exactly how he's going to do it. I just don't know how he's going to pull that off. But that's not my job to know that. Long as I'm in the number, I really don't care how it happens. You know, but yes, there's going to be some people that's going to go through a shock. They're going to go through a shock because of the familiarity that they have with life and the things that they're used to doing in life. They're not going to be able to do no more. And they're going to complain. There's going to be some complainers. You're right. It is. They are really, truly complaining. You know?
Right. They got status in this world. They think, and they caught up with their status. And then when the Most High comes, their status don't play a role no more, but they still think they got status. They don't have status. I don't know if anybody watched the Ten Commandments, but the guy was just Moses standing there getting ready to open up the Red Sea, and this one guy standing there contending with him. After all that done happened in Egypt, he still got this group of people that he got on his side, he's still trying to contend with Moses.
That's true. And people were definitely contesting everything that he was doing and making complaints about everything that he was doing. And that is true.
Right.
So they were still trying to tell that it wasn't real after all the things that they saw. But those same people, the descendants of those same people are going to be there.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They're going to be there. Those are those same descendants of those people's family members. Those same people are going to be there.
Right.
And they're going to complain because life is not going to be what they thought it was going to be. He's going to abruptly bring a halt to all of this. And it's going to be abrupt. It really is. It's going to really be abrupt to the point where people are really going to be shocked that they can't do the things that they want to do anymore.
Yeah, I was saying, we got a good example right now with the Ukraine, the way that happened. All of a sudden, they had to go. So, you know, an example right there in our face.
Real talk. Now, that's real talk right there because Their life changed in a fraction of a moment to the point where everybody is in total shock, like, wow, you know, that this is happening. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you got a point there now. That is definitely true because everybody is upset. They're like, whoa, what just happened? Everything changed in a fraction of a second. Everything changed. And there was nothing anybody could do about it. Those people left everything behind. Everything they had was left.
Right, and they waiting on it. They waiting on it to be over with, but they dealing with a tyrant. And the Most High in it. They ain't leaving nothing. They got rules and regulations where you can't blow up no hospital or you can't blow up a school, but he ain't going by that. He's blowing up the schools and everything.
And everybody thinks that it's inhumane and, oh, it's a terrible thing, but, you know, it's just, that's going to be ugly. And, I mean, ain't nothing else you can say about that. But, yes, that is really going to be ugly because it takes us to a whole nother level. And this is an example, and I believe the Most High did this for us to be able to watch this, how your reality can change overnight. Overnight.
Right. Start packing their bags. Give them some bags packed.
You know, all kind of stuff can happen in a fraction of a second. Overnight, everything can change right in your face. And there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Right.
You know, nothing. All they can do is pack up and get to moving. Old people, young people, children. Everybody suffered behind that. Everybody did. And there was nothing that anybody could do about it. You couldn't stop it. Even if you wanted to stop it, you couldn't stop it. So, yeah, I believe that's how quick it's going to happen for us. Because that might be how quick it's going to happen for us.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody is paying attention to that ruble. That's an example right there. I mean, people, they're fumbling with that. It's rising. So that means that the dollar going to go down.
Yeah, real talk.
The one in the ruble is rising. That's kind of Russia's objective is to denigrate the dollar. When the dollar go down, that's it for America.
Yeah, it's looking like it. Yeah, it really is. That is really critical. That's crucial. It definitely
I think it's going to be so overwhelming. It's going to be like a psychological concussion for us.
Oh, yeah, right.
What? Say that again, sis. I didn't hear you. Say that one more time.
I mean, it's talking about changing it overnight just quickly. I mean, the way he describes it in the scriptures, it's going to be like a psychological concussion for Israel. We're going to need some help. He's gonna need to protect us.
Do you think it's gonna be detrimental like that for us, or do you think he will do something to the mind to allow us to adjust?
He's gonna protect us.
Okay. Well.
But I'm just saying that the effect of it. I mean, if you take a people out who've been in the situation we've been in for these hundreds of years, we're gonna need something to protect our psyche.
Yeah, that's true. That is so very true.
If you look in the past, like a lot of people they found a favorable light on Cyrus. Cyrus was ruthless, but the Most High put a spirit on him, and then so when he came, just like he put a spirit on Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a heathen and a ruthless person, but he put a spirit on Nebuchadnezzar, and he told his Lord of Hosts, "Do right by Jeremiah." That don't make any sense when you know the type of person he was. And even Ezra, in the book of Ezra, when Cyrus told him, "Yo, God, he wasn't him. He said, if you live up to me, I cut all y'all head off." But he told, "Yo, God told me to let y'all go." And he brought him out and gave him all the money. The gold that they needed.
He sure did. He really did say that. And Yah will protect us because whomever we under, like Ezekiel 38 says, you know, he's going to hire those nations to watch over us, and then it's going to come into their mind to do something to us. You know?
Right. Yeah, and Russia and China, I mean, I don't know if anybody been peeping that out, but Hitler told them, you know, way back in the day, who we were. Said that America got the Most High Jews over there with them, right? So Russia and China know that. So look how they've been, look how they handling it. Look at the favor they've been showing. People ain't paying no attention to that. But Russia and China have been showing up favoritism because of any nation that rise up, they got the Israelites in their possession. When Egypt rose, they had Israelites in their possession. America had Israelites. So they know that. So whatever they're doing, they got us incorporated in it. And that's the Most High behind it.
Right. Yeah, but they'll never admit that. Now, that they will never openly admit, as much as we have said that, and we've said that on this radio show, they have come out and said that is a lie. Hitler didn't say that. He never said that about them. So that they'll never admit that one. That will never be admitted.
No. Well, they're doing it in a figurative way, like they're not calling us Israelites. They call us blacks or African Americans. Like Russia said, how can you try to give him war crimes and humanitarian violations when look what you've done to the African Americans for the last 500 years? So he's not in an indirect way. He's saying it, but he ain't saying it.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he said it. And Chinese said it too. The Chinese president. That's what I'm saying. It's a concerted effort between those two to wreck us. But they both know who we are. So they got part of their plan to destroying us is to get us out of here. That's what unfolds.
Right. Well, I didn't know he said that. I never saw.
Yeah, Both of them said it.
Say that again.
Both of them said it. They said, "Why you're not the judge of the whole world because you got a big old hole festering soul over there in America where you what you've done to the African Americans and you ain't fixed it. You know, you ain't fixed it. You going out trying to talk about humanitarian violations, but you ain't fixed it." The festering sword that you got, that you created over there, what you doing in Latin America?
I hadn't yet heard that either, but that's interesting. But I remember China about 5 months ago, maybe six, maybe a little bit longer, but, you know, the U.S. was pointing the finger at China. And one of their diplomats, all they said, they just put out, "I can't breathe."
Wow.
Yeah. It's been said 4 or 5 times that it made that statement, but like I said, in an indirect way. You know what I'm saying? If you understand who we are and you got your ears open, you can see what they're saying, and that's part of their plan. They know the only reason this place still here is because of us. They know that, and they know that they can't come and do the same thing because they gonna get repercussions. So they got plans. In place to deliver us. Like I said, the Babylonians Nebuchadnezzar took us into captivity, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't deliver us. Our forefathers was waiting on the Babylonians to deliver us, but the Persians delivered us. The Chaldeans delivered us.
That is so very true. That is true. Now that is true. That's definitely truth. That is really truth. Mm-mm. So the people that put us into captivity won't be the ones to deliver us out of captivity because that is the plan that he did out in the beginning.
Right,
and he said,
right.
I changed.
Right. Wow. Then look at Russia, right? And you just mentioned Ezekiel 38. Well, look at the nations that siding with Russia now. So it's the same nations in Ezekiel 38. And they're all out of Africa.
That is true. Wow, that is really true. That's the truth. I mean, seriously. Wow. That's why everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat. You know, because everything is lining up according to the scriptures. Hold on, hold on. Area code 407, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to confirm what he said. Both China and Russia have denounced America in terms of their racial justice, if you will. Also, the last president of Iran, he spoke in front of the UN, and a bunch of people just walked out. I think it was Congress. I think it was basically American. They just walked out on his speech, but he was really – if you go on the Internet, you can find it, I believe. But he was really telling the world how they were treating the so-called African-Americans in this land. That's all I wanted to say.
Wow. Now, when was this?
That was during the time when Ahmadinejad was over the range.
Yeah, you know, Ahmadinejad,
or whatever his name was, he was off the chain because I remember one time he told them, you know, he was talking to Israel, and they was like, he's like, because y'all are not the people. And they went ballistic.
They went
completely ballistic.
And the UN, I think it was in like right before 2019, the UN already made a decree and told America that they have to fix the problem that they with the black African Americans. And they allotted them $21 trillion to do it. And it ain't happened yet.
Wow. Well, we didn't get none of that money, that's for sure. We didn't get none of that. No. But, however, like you said, however it's going to get done, it's going to get done because y'all said it was. So we know that it's going to happen. Now, whoever it happens through, it's going to happen through, but it's going to get done because his word is not going to come back void under no circumstances.
Yeah.
Wow, I just think that is incredible. But that's the Elohim we're dealing with, and these are the people. You're right, all the people that are lining up with Russia are the people that are in Ezekiel 38. That's crucial. Well, you know, that, like I said yesterday, what nation is it that we have? Deuteronomy 4, verse 4 through 7. You know, what nation is there on the planet that has their Elohim so close to them that every time we call on him, he hears us when we pray? You know, that's why I was telling everybody, you don't have to retaliate with nothing. All you got to do is cry out to the Most High. That's it. And he's going to come deliver. That's all he's waiting on us to do is to sincerely cry out, and then he's going to come and do a deliverance. He's going to deliver. You know? He is. That's all I can say on the matter, you know, and we getting there. I think we're getting there. We're getting to the point where we know we're ready to do what it is that we need to do. We're getting there. Because I believe mentally we have to be in a certain place. Hold on, let me ask you. Brother Uriah, did you have a comment for this stuff? I know I had your phone been for what you did earlier.
No, I didn't have a comment at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we are definitely getting there. We really are. You know, to be able to see that all these things are happening and it's coming together. You know, we don't know how, we don't know when, but we know he said he's coming. And that's all we can do is trust that he's coming. And everything else is going to work itself on out. You know. That's crucial. It's some scary stuff. I mean, it's scary in the fact that we're getting ready to see the power of Yah. We've never seen it. We've never experienced it. I don't care what church you've been to, what kind of chills you had running up your back, all the hikamoshandas and all that. You've never experienced the power of Yah. You just haven't. You get ready to see it raw and uncut, you know, and that's what the Most High was saying. Moshe said all the things that you've seen him do, you still doubting?
Right.
But that's because a lot of people didn't want to give up the lifestyle that they was living. You know, because it ain't going to be no more gangs. It ain't going to be no more drugs. It ain't going to be no more none. It ain't going to be no strip clubs. It ain't going to be none of that stuff no more. All that's going to come to an end. And it's going to be a shock for a lot of people. It's going to be a shock. It ain't going to be no more, Wall Street. And it ain't going to be none of that. We just gonna go back to a simple part, a group of people that he wants on his own because he wants to be the one to bring us out to the level that he wants us to be. It ain't not gonna be no stocks and bonds and all that 401k, all that stuff going out the window. And some people have they have identified themselves through those things and they put themselves on a pedestal because of those things. And when you don't have them anymore. And everybody's doing the same thing. It's going to be very difficult for a lot of people. You're right. There's going to be some people that's going to be upset. They are really going to be upset. You know? But, you know, we got to make the move. We have to make the change. You know, because we've been away from our land for a long time. We don't even count the time that we was in Africa. We don't even count those times. We've been away
right.
for a long time. Our culture, everything.
Right.
Let me see if I bring that thing up. Hold on. This is really old, but this is something that we used to play a long time ago. And every time it did, it just was used to mess me up. You know, but I want you to listen to this and see if we can get this going like it's supposed to be going. Just give me a second because it's only a short clip. Okay, let's go. Here we go.
Hi, shalom, shalom from Israel. This is Ola, the daughter of Jethro. And I just heard that you black people that were calling from Africa to America, that you don't know who you are, but you are the children of Yahweh, the children of Israel. And I'm telling you, you have to come back to your homeland, here to Zion, to Jerusalem, because us the Gentiles, we do need you. We need to come and pray because you are our Savior. You're the one that was chosen by Yahweh to live in this land, not the Jewish people, it's you. You were stolen from Africa, they deceived you, they told you that you are slaves, but you actually the children of Israel. And it's time to come back. Come for your people, come back for us, come back for the whole Gentiles, because only you gonna save us. So please come back to Zion.
That messes me up every time I hear that. It's like, wow. And she's in Israel. That was years ago she did that. She's actually in Israel. She said, we need you to come back. You got to come home. Because only you can fix this thing. Nobody else can fix it. Because everything's out of whack. Everything's out of whack. Rough. You know? Rough. It's like, wow. You know? And it's just crucial. And everybody knows who we are except us. Everybody knows who we are except us. You know? And it's something when the Gentile says, we need you to come back. You got to come back home. You got to come back because all this is out of whack. But, you know, we on our way. But, again, it's according to what Yah says and when he says so. You know, so it's just difficult, you know, to know. You know, like I said, it's hard to know. It is very difficult to know and to not be able to change it because we want it to change. Because the Most High is going to do this in his own time. In the way he wants to do it, when he wants to do it. But it's out there. They know. Russia knows. If you look at some of those old books that Russia has We learned them through IUIC and some of the other older groups. They have these books. They know what color the Israelites were. They know. Iran knows what color Esther was. They know what color she was. She was their queen for a long time. They know what color she was. They know that was a Negro. They know that. But, you know, we just have to, it's just, you know, it's just, I think that we've done a great job in doing what we've done. We've been on the radios for years, and some of these groups have been doing it way longer than us, and we've been doing this for years and years and been consistent for years and years and years. And I think everybody has done a great job with their voice, getting their voice out there for people. And even though our people won't acknowledge it, they know. Because I can't believe it came up in the confirmation of Supreme Court Judge Jackson. I just can't believe it did, but it did. It did. So they know. We just have to, you know, keep occupied until I come. Because I'm coming. If he told you he's coming, he's coming. Nobody's going to stop him from coming. He's coming to get his people. He is coming to get his people. He really is. And that's just the truth. Now, all we have to do is occupy till he comes. That's what he told us to do. Occupy till I come. Keep busy. And this is how we do it. This is how we do it. This is, believe me, because people are listening all over the world. This is how we do it. But I think it's going to be a shock for a lot of people when we leave, Brother Leonard. It's going to be a shock because they're not used to it. They're just not used to living that way. They you know, won't be no more project living. It just won't be a lot of things. Now, I don't know what we're going to walk into and what he has prepared for us. He may already have housing prepared. You know, I don't know how he's going to do it. Not my job to try to figure that out. All I got to do is stay occupied until he comes. Do what we're doing. As long as we're allowed to do it. That's all we can do. You know, so all praises be to the Most High Yah. We have come a long way. Like I said, to everybody that's on this line, you know, great job, everybody. Wonderful job, you know, in your communities, at your job, the people in your families. We have done the job. I mean, we've tried our best to live it in front of everybody. And it's not what you say, it's how you live it. And my uncle said something that rings true. He said, when they know you know, they treat you totally different. And they do. He said, when they know you know who you are, they treat you totally different. I didn't know how wise that man was until he left here, and I was able to play back some of the things that he said. I'm like, wow. You know? And I mean, you know, they couldn't stop it. There's been nothing done to stop us from knowing. Now, they know we can't change it until he does, but they know that we know who we are now. We know that. And even though we're leaving, we're still not going to interrupt the story because the story has to continue. He's just going to put us in a place of safety out of the way, but the story has to continue. The people that are in the land that are professing to be Jews will stay there. They will stay in Jerusalem and play out the rest of their part. We're not going in there to interrupt that. He said, I'm going to put you out the way. You're going to be in a place of safety because the story has to continue because his word will not come back void. But like the sister said on Saturday, we'll just be tucked away so that he can introduce himself to his people again, because that was the whole purpose of going out into the wilderness. He wanted to introduce himself to his people. So that we can get all the other stuff right, because we got to get it right. We got to get it all right, and we will. Everything will change. And to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I am looking forward to meeting the Most High Yah. I'm looking forward to meeting the Most High Yah. I'm looking forward to meeting Yisrael and Yahweh. I'm looking forward to it. And like Brother Leonard said, you know, if you have an issue with it, look at what happened to Ukraine. Look at how quickly their reality changed. It changed overnight. Them people can't pay rent no more. Those people can't pay car notes anymore. They can't pay credit card bills anymore. They can't pay insurance anymore. There's no jobs to go back to. There's no buildings to go back to. They're blown up. The only thing that matters now is survival. They can't do anything like that anymore. Now, remember, we used to always talk about that, like, wonder what it's going to be like to leave all this stuff, leave all these cars and houses and furniture and stuff. You know, will he give us a chance to sell this stuff off and get rid of all this stuff? They didn't. They didn't have a chance. And I used to wonder about that, like, what about all these car notes we got and car insurance and we got to pay rent and we got, you know, doctor bills, and all that went away in one day. That was over with in one day. The whole world was stunned in one day. Everything changed. Now, one thing we know about Yah is he does things decent and in order. He does do that. But it's still, you know, I don't know. But I trust him. That's all I have. I don't have nothing else. I trust him. And even if he's not... Go ahead, sis.
Then it also say men's eyes are going to fail for what they see. I think there's going to be a level, too, of we're going to be glad to get out of here. Or will we be gone by then?
I hope so. I really do. Because you think about our family members that's in church that's clapping and shouting and dancing. They leaving. Whether they, like he said, it's going to be a culture shock because it ain't going to be no more of that. Ain't going to be no more of that. Whatever reality we thought it was, and whatever thing norm that we thought it was, it's going to be abruptly cut short. If they Israel, they won't be here. It's crucial. I want to see how he's going to do it. I want to see how he's going to do this. And be in the number. For real. And be in the number. Because it's going to be amazing. Ain't going to be no more hospitals anymore. It ain't going to be no more of that. Ain't going to be no more maternity wards. Ain't going to be no more of that. Now, not in this land. Ain't gonna be no more. And there's gonna be babies, because we read on yesterday how he's going to multiply the nation back to the place where it was, because it was as many of us as the sand of the sea. Do you know how many people that is? That's a lot of folks. He said said he minimized us. He brought us down few in numbers because of our disobedience. But he said, I'm going to increase you and multiply you back to where you were. The sand of the sea. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of babies being born. Woo!
Yeah. They've been attacking our family since we've been here.
Say that again.
They've been attacking our family since we've been here. Back in the day, it wasn't nothing to have 10 children in the family.
That's true.
They've been attacking them. I mean, they're learning from what happened in Egypt. They've been attacking our family since we got here.
That's true. But you know what? I got cousins that's rosters, and they each one of them got like 8 boys and 9 kids and 12 kids. And it's like, man. You know, y'all really, they do. They still do. And now the kid's grown, and it's like, look at all the wealth that this person has.
Yeah.
Just kids. It's like, wow. So, yeah, he said he was going to multiply us back again to the place where we were. And that's as the sand of the sea. Woo! Man, oh, man. And you think about Jacob. Jacob had 12 boys. He had 12 sons and one daughter. Crucial. 12 boys. So that's a lot. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. You know, every time we get a day closer, it makes me more and more excited. I'm excited. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really excited. I think it's a blessing because we have a promise that nobody else, no other nation on the earth can speak to. We just can't. They can't. Now, what a promise that is. You know,
and also he said he's going to, magnify us and glorify us, and that people will be trying to hold on to our skirts. So we've never known. We've been just held in derision really all our lives. That's all we've known. But now it'll be clear. We're going to be feared or desired at least and even feared.
Yeah, like we were before. Yes, like who we were before. Yes, definitely. I mean, because we've been trodden down. We were made to hold our head low. You know, because we were under the authority of another nation. And if we had never been disobedient, that would have never happened. But in order to get us to move us out of here.
Ain't they glorifying the Ukrainian people right now?
Yeah.
We next.
Yeah. Crucial. Let me read this scripture before we leave. Deuteronomy chapter 4, put this in your psyche, verse 7. It says, for what nation is there so great who have Yah so nigh unto them as the Most High our Elohim is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that have statutes and judgments so righteous as to all this law which I've set before you this day? He said, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. He said, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So we got to tell our children who we are, who our Elohim is, and get prepared to go home. That's our job to do. And to let them know this is not going to last. We are not going to be here forever. It's time to go home. That's why I tell all the white supremacists and all, we are on our way out. You can have it. When the Most High say it's time to go, we are out of here. They say, well, that's the best news I've heard all day. I said, me too. Hold on. Eric Cole 540, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, you were talking about the 12 boys, and I was saying 12 warriors. Every man that has a family like that, he's basically raising warriors.
Yeah, absolutely. This man said his father had 18 children, and between those 18 children had five 600 offspring. Can you imagine? I was like, man.
Mm-hmm. All y'all women, you better be ready for the, you know, millennium, because y'all going to be doing some work.
Yeah, I guess they will be. I don't know nothing about that, but all praises be to the Most High.
All y'all, young and old, all y'all.
No, I'm going to be the immortal, so I won't be in that group. All praises be to the Most High.
You better hope you be immortal. You be out there getting ready too.
I will be a part of the immortals. I will be in that group. Praise Yah. Long praises. But guess what? We are at the end of our show. I have enjoyed this show like I do every Sunday. Every Sunday I come over here not knowing what we're going to talk about, but we always find something to talk to each other about. And it's good content. It's good information. You know, it's just right where it's supposed to be. And, you know, it's quality content. So I really do appreciate everybody that's on here. You know, of course, we're going to meet back tonight at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, everybody, to end all of these feast days and all this stuff. You know, I hope you guys enjoyed your donuts today and all your bread and all the stuff you ate today. All praises to the Most High, Yah. You know, and you guys, I want you to have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week. You know, and we will be talking again, you know, the Most High is willing that we'll be here at our regularly scheduled program. And we have much love for our people. We have much love for our Elohim. And we are excited about the outcome that he has laid out for us in the scriptures. And on that note, you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. And shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful day.